The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Now we are going to get to David Garrity from the Aspen Group joining us to talk about Google, Microsoft, and more. Dave, welcome.
Thank you very much, Kathleen. Good afternoon.
So where shall we start? How about Microsoft? It looks like share price continues to I'm actually just waiting for my terminal to open up here. But what do you make of the latest?
Well, in terms of the numbers that came out, certainly disappointment around what sort of sell-through they've had around Windows 8. And that's something that people have recognized, and the disappointment around it has been sort of underscored by just how poor PC shipments were in the first quarter. But now Microsoft is coming out and trying to espouse its virtues as a cloud computing vendor and talking about sort of the revenue run rates that they're having around that, which, you know, are about $2 billion. And certainly that's an appreciable business. And it's certainly an area that's growing. But at the same time, you know, Microsoft certainly has a legacy business. Granted, the margins in that business are 60%, and anybody would kill to get those margins. But they have a legacy business around operating system software for PCs and desktops that certainly is arguably mature. And there are many strategic questions that are very much open that need to be answered for Microsoft's shares to, I think, move appreciably higher. What we're seeing here is probably some relief that yesterday wasn't as bad as people feared, and that there may be some silver linings to look at. But overall, Microsoft still has challenges in front of it.
So shares are up about 3%, 11% higher year to date, trading now at $29.65. But, you know, a lot worse for some of the other tech companies today, including IBM, where shares are down 7.6%. Does it feel, David, like we're at a turning point for technology, some kind of an inflection point, and in the next year or two, we'll see those who can meet the challenges survive and thrive, and those who can't just be sold off?
No, certainly, very much so. And what was interesting today, coming out of it wasn't just so much IBM's results yesterday, but also the news that was breaking on Bloomberg earlier today with respect to the talks possibly taking place between IBM and Lenovo for IBM to sell its x86 server business to Lenovo. Now, bear in mind historically that there has been a relationship between IBM and Lenovo. IBM sold its PC business back to Lenovo in 2005, which certainly was very helpful for Lenovo, now becoming the number two vendor of PCs worldwide. X86 server is a certainly fast-growing area, but IBM as a company is certainly very much focused upon not selling commodity products, and they certainly are well-regarded for how astutely they manage intellectual property portfolios. And so, you know, if IBM is saying it's time to get out of the x86 server business, and Lenovo, for their own reasons, is more than happy to pick it up, it sort of casts uncertainty, not so much on IBM, but it certainly casts uncertainty with regards to the likes of Dell, where we've seen the news coming out of Blackstone that they were going to back away from a proposal to help take that company private. And it also casts concerns as regards Hewlett Packard, you know, the other major name that we haven't been talking about here, you know, who does face these significant challenges that you just outlined that something has to be done about within the next 12 to 24 months.
Google did pretty well.
I mean, Google overall, you know, came out with some interesting things, and people, I thought, were encouraged by things not necessarily being as bad or as volatile as they've been sort of over the last few quarters. You know, at least you didn't have the company coming out and releasing their earnings by accident midday. So it seems that execution there is going a little bit more smoothly. And losses associated with the Motorola hardware business, the handset, the cellular handset operations that they acquired, weren't necessarily as bad as people thought. I was a bit surprised by the tax rate being as low as it was and the fact that people were sort of willing to give the company credit around that. But I think what we're seeing with Google shares today are more of a relief rally.
What can we read into the fact that Blackstone Group has pulled out of the bidding for Dell? I mean, ostensibly it's because PC sales are dying or at least dropping off quite substantially. Is that the real reason? And what should Michael Dell think about this?
Well, I mean, one, in looking at Dell, they have tried, albeit late, to emulate more of the integrated strategy, which very much IBM pioneered in terms of being a provider of hardware, software, and then to tie it all together, outsourcing services. I mean, Dell had acquired a company, Perot Data Systems, to try and do just that. And really, Blackstone's walking away from Dell, to me, says that whatever Dell was trying to do in terms of moving away from the PC business, he hasn't gone far enough as far as that's concerned. And so as a result, the fortunes for Dell as a company and as a buyout candidate still remain very, very much tied with regards to the PC cycle. And unless we can see something happen with respect to a possible decision to divest or spin off those operations, we may see a very difficult transaction here as far as Michael Dell is concerned in terms of trying to take more of the integrated enterprise part of his business private so that it can be then grown out of the public eye. Obviously, the PC business itself seems to be a bit of a millstone right now around the neck of Michael Dell.
Indeed. I want to ask you about Nokia. The results were out, even day before yesterday, right? But they are having such a hard time. I mean, the smallest quarterly revenue in 13 years, their handset demand waning. The Lumia, the new smarter phone, is doing reasonably well, but that lower-end phone that was supposed to be a good product for emerging markets, not doing so well. What's happening, and what are their prospects for surviving and thriving?
So I think part of the things around Nokia that you've got to look at is just, they do have fairly substantial exposure to China. And granted, China is still growing, albeit at a somewhat slower rate. And you've also been getting greater competition coming in the low-end phone market from the likes of companies we don't historically talk about, namely Chinese national vendors, Huawei, as well as also ZTE. Nokia on its own is sort of a turnaround that never seems to happen. And from that regard, while things are encouraging with regard to the Lumia, and there was acceptance by wireless service provider vendors such as AT&T in North America, they haven't necessarily been able to get themselves back into a position to really have a franchise that they can try to have to support their business going forward. So I think what we're going to see with Nokia is probably a further round of cost reductions, probably a need on their own part to meet the price competition by repositioning their own products.
Okay, Dave Garrity, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us from the Aspen Group. This is the Hayes Advantage, Bloomberg Radio.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.